Heavenly Father, having heard your word, may it dwell richly in us. May it stir us, challenge us, inspire us, provoke us, and give us the courage and strength and humility to reply to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Great to see you all here this morning. We're continuing our series in Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary, looking at this unusual girl in one sense and how she was used and allowed herself to be used by the Lord in obedience to the Lord. So I have a couple of questions for you before we begin. The first one is this. Have you joined the revolution? And maybe the revolution will become more apparent to you as I go on, but I want you to think about that. Have you joined the revolution? And then I want you to take maybe 30 seconds, because it shouldn't take you much longer than that, to think of one word, one single word for you to describe God. One word for describing God. All right? In fact, I'll give you the 30 seconds. I'll time you. There you go, quietly. One word that would describe God for you. Five seconds. And we're done. Would anyone care to share their word? You don't have to. Would anyone like to share their word? Yes? Pardon? Who's saying that? Hand up, who's saying that? Good man. Strong, right? Anything else? Kindness, good man. Who said great? Great in the back. Anybody else? Love, yes. Anything else? Powerful, yes. Pardon? Faithful, fantastic. Who said kind? I noticed that all the big children are quiet and all the little children know exactly how to describe their God. Anybody else? Yes. Pardon? Mighty, yeah. Lots of words to describe God. So hold on to those words, and thank you for being brave and speaking up. All right, you could teach a few more around here, a few things. So let's look at where we've come from, very briefly, like one of those TV shows previously. All right, so previously in Mary, we have seen that the Holy Spirit has come upon Mary and overshadowed her, as Simon told us at the start, and she became pregnant. But she has also become obedient, faithful, an amazing believer, and accepting. So many other words that you could describe her in the moment when the Holy Spirit came upon her. All right? So the Holy Spirit has played a major part here. She then moves on and visits Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth. And suddenly Elizabeth is inspired and understands instantly what child Mary is carrying. And she blesses Mary and claims blessing over Mary for the child that she's carrying and understands this child to be her Lord. So the Holy Spirit has played his part with Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit has played his part with Mary. And now, as Elizabeth gives all of this blessing, verse 45 of the same passage, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord, we then get Mary's response. We then get Mary's response. She is similarly inspired by the Holy Spirit to respond. And boy, does she respond for such a young girl in a most powerful way. And we'll come back to that in a moment. In 1215, wee history lesson, in 1215, a certain document was written. Does anybody know what it is? The Magna Carta, translated the Great Charter. And roughly speaking, it was a document that was written by the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time. And it was roughly a document that established the relationship between the monarchy and government and the people in terms of how they would behave towards each other. It did an awful lot more, but that loosely is what it is. It was a revolutionary document, and 800 years of it was celebrated 3 years ago. This document, this Mary's song, this Magnificat, was spoken many, many, many years before that, and is easily one of the most revolutionary documents ever written, spoken, heard in the human tongue. And I'll explain why in a moment. It's called the Magnificat, Mary's Song of Praise, or Mary's Song. Could it be the first Christmas carol? I know some commentators look at it that way. But we want to unpick this incredible piece of language, this written document, this song, this prayer, whatever you want to call it. Now it begins, "My soul magnifies." And the only magnifying that I know about There are no biscuits in here, by the way, in case you were all wondering. So, here's a cool magnifying glass, right? This one lights up, you see. Right? Maybe, these are my mother-in-law's. I'm looking after them very well, as one can imagine. Right, so this one's very modern and lights up. This one is over 100 years old and was my mother-in-law's grandfather's. All right? So I'm especially looking after this one. All right? So magnifying glasses, everybody understands, makes things look bigger. Isn't that right? Makes things look bigger. Or, and children, don't do this at home. When I was a kid, you used it for the sun's rays. Isn't that right? And you could burn your name in a piece of wood. Anybody ever try that? All right? Yes, yeah. Don't do it at home. All right? Don't try this at home. It's not the usual warning. So it makes things bigger. But you can't make God bigger. Isn't that right? There's no point trying to make God bigger. He's as big as he's going to get. We can't describe his bigness. So the word magnify here doesn't mean make God bigger. But in antiquity, the word magnify normally meant to make great, to venerate, to exalt, to highly praise. So the word magnify, when we read it here, does not mean making God bigger. It means exalting God with everything that you've got, in an understanding that you probably can't do it enough, but you give it a go. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary is responding to the many blessings she has received, not the least of which is Elizabeth's recognition of the child that she's carrying, and she goes off on one. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices, for he has looked on the humble servant, on the humble estate of his servant. From behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And then, remember your words? Well, here's her words. For he who is mighty has done great things, and his mercy and his strength. And it goes on and on and on. And the words spoken here could only have been inspired by the Spirit for one so small, so innocent, so young, so immature in her knowledge as well of God, but so accepting, so believing, so obedient, so faithful and ready to persevere and endure the stigma of being an unmarried mother carrying the Christ child. And she goes on to incredibly exalt, to raise up and praise God. Now, the language that she uses is extraordinary. All right? The language that she uses is extraordinary. And I'll explain why. During the British rule of India, this Magnificat was banned in certain parts of the country. Because Indians were coming into church to hear about Christianity, and they were hearing the Magnificat. And the authorities understood the power, implicit and explicit, within this document, within this Magnificat. So, he has, verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Now, many see this as a moral revolution. If you can scatter the proud thoughts of our hearts, then suddenly we can be free. And of course, the object and focus of our freedom is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So the pride, those who think they're in control of their own lives, never mind everyone else's, were to be scattered by the coming Savior. A moral revolution that speaks directly to each and every one of our hearts as much today as it did then. Because isn't it so often that it is pride which stops us from doing things for Jesus? Imagine if Mary had been so consumed by pride that she didn't want the child or didn't accept what was going on for fear of the stigma. If pride had overtaken her, where would we be? And she's proclaiming now a moral revolution because of the child that she is carrying. So in many respects, she's also prophesying, proclaiming, praising, all in one go. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. So now we have a social revolution. Those who felt entitled and were wealthy and ruled, we're going to be turned upside down. The world was going to change with the coming of this child. The order of things, the expected order of things, was going to be ripped up, the rule book destroyed by what was happening. And these words are coming from the mouth of a young teenage girl inspired by the Spirit and obedient and faithful to what the Spirit is anointing her with. These are incredibly powerful words. A moral revolution, a social revolution, where the rich don't rule, where those of low estate, those who felt had no opportunities in life, had no general expectation of where they could be or what they could do, suddenly find themselves free in Jesus Christ to be exactly that, free. And obedient to God. A moral revolution, a social revolution. And then he filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. An economic revolution, where wealth counts for nothing, where faith in God is all that matters, where there's greater sharing and greater understanding of the needs of the poor, the destitute, the lowly. An economic revolution. So you can imagine if you're ruling parts of India where they don't feel very free. And this is being read to them week in and week out. those in desperation and those who know they are not free will read it and understand it and believe. And I suppose then there is an implicit question in that for each and every one of us. How desperate are we to know the Savior of the world this Christmas time? How desperate are we to know? Because what Mary is proclaiming is the kingdom that is coming. And it's a kingdom that doesn't recognize or approve of society or human norms. It is a topsy-turvy kingdom. It is a counter-cultural kingdom. It is a kingdom that is God's kingdom. And it's being established here as it is there. And we just prayed it in the Lord's Prayer. And this kingdom was going to be a threat to those in power. This kingdom was going to be a threat to those who are proud. This kingdom is going to be a threat to those who are wealthy and independent and entitled. But this kingdom is going to be freedom and joy to those who seek out the Lord. This kingdom is here and still to come. And we have this coming from the words of a young girl, not someone who has been set up high and mighty and worked their way through university and established themselves at some point and then gone to the point of having a great deal of influence in the land. This is coming from the mouth of a young girl. That is why it is so contrary to what we would expect. This powerful proclamation of the world that is being created, the new kingdom of God. And she goes on. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abram, and to his offspring forever. And she now is part of the reminding of God's people to remember what he has done for them, what he is doing for them, and what he will do for them. But one of the other incredibly interesting thing about this Magnificat is look at the way the Holy Spirit has transformed a young teenage girl into a revolutionary voice of God. She could not hope or expect to have uttered these words without God's presence dwelling richly within her in the Spirit. She has been utterly transformed. And I look at it, and I look at her, and I see incredible hope for each and every one of us. If God can do that with this girl, if God can sustain her while the world looks on and is ashamed of her state, what can he do with us if we only let him? If we only acknowledge the Spirit and what the Spirit is saying to us, what could he do with us? What revolutions are waiting to be wrought on this world by God's people if we only allow him to work in us? And it is by grace that we get to allow him. This is the most revolutionary document the world has ever seen. It speaks of a kingdom that doesn't obey any of the rules that we see acceptable in our world today. It is a world that loves, doesn't hate. It is a world that doesn't seek revenge. It is a world that your neighbor is your brother and your sister. With a person that condemns you, you love. It is a countercultural, topsy-turvy world, but we can make sense of it through the power of the Spirit in the person of Jesus Christ. Our world is begging for revolution today. This island is begging for revolution today. It's on its knees. And the person of Jesus Christ, whom we are going to exalt, venerate, make mighty, make as big as we possibly can, though we can't, but we can acknowledge his greatness. Acknowledge his greatness. And in a couple of days' time, that's exactly what we're going to do, yet we do it 365 days a year. Are you part of the revolution that a 14-year-old or 13-year-old girl started in the power of the Spirit and was utterly transformed? Are you part of it? Do you want to be part of it? Because God needs you to be part of it. This is how he has decided to work in his world, by using you and me. So whatever word you've got for God, and we heard many wonderful words at the start, hold on to them. Generate more. Engage with them. Be transformed. Join the revolution. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the power of God in our lives. Lord, open our hearts and minds and utterly transform us by the power of your Spirit. May we not be proud. May we not kowtow to the rules of this world, but embrace your kingdom and share your love with everyone we meet. May the revolution begin with us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
As part of that revolution, why not take a chance to be a revolution?